Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The one group that I really don't like, I understand that these poor people have to make a living, but I really do not like telemarketers. I have to confess that I'm quite rude to telemarketers. I have been known to abruptly say, "Not interested," and hang up the phone. I don't like to be sold something over the phone. And the worst are the Christian telemarketers. Because those people I have to be polite to because they say God talk. You know, they talk about, you know, we love you and we're praying for you and we're hoping that you have a blessed day in the Lord. Well, how do you say, "I'm not interested" to that? Really don't like telemarketers, especially the Christian ones. And so I have to politely listen to the spiel. And you notice with telemarketers, even those Christian types, they know how to speak without taking a breath. So when you want to say no, you have to wait for this long spiel. And they all talk about the opportunity that you have, and especially for the Christians, that you're going to take your church to the next level. My favorite one, I had several conversations with this particular gentleman who was trying to sell me commercials, professional grade commercials, that were to air on cable television, and for a mere $5,000, now this was in the 90s, $5,000 would get me commercials for my church in like 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning on some obscure cable channel. And this was going to bring my church to the next level. And when I said that I'm not sure people are up at that hour, he assured me that there were multimillionaires up at 2 and 3 in the morning who were so lonely and want to hear my commercial and then will come to my church. And after that, I said, "Not interested." So when somebody came to my door in my office and sat down, knew that this stewardship program was going to happen, sat down and said to me, "Pastor, just how much do you want me to give to this church?" And I started to make a spiel like a telemarketer. Oh, it was really good. "Well, you know, stewardship is about so much more. And it's not really a number." And as I'm blithering and blathering along, he looked at me and said, "It's always about a number." You know, sometimes I don't like you people. Especially when you're telling me the truth and you cut through all the God talk. It's always about a number. The people, the ladies especially, in the story today knew it was about a number. These were ladies who had heard the word of God. Some had been dramatically transformed and healed. And so they started to go around with Jesus, not to preach, not to do the glamorous work, but to provide out of their means so that the work could continue. So wherever Jesus went, this group was with him. We only hear about three names, but it said many other women were there. I often wonder about Chuza. Chuza was Joanna's husband, and Chuza had a big job in Herod's government. And he must have been very long-suffering. I'm sure he would get his wife visiting him saying, "Honey, we need a little more money." And he would say, "How much?" And then give. Because women did not have their own incomes at that moment in time. But all these women took care of the ministry. I had to laugh. One commentator said, well, Jesus really didn't need them because all he had to do was turn, he could turn rocks into bread and he could have, he did water into wine, so why couldn't he have done it himself? He just wanted to humor them. I don't think that's how it worked. This was not the Jesus traveling magic show. And so there were people that needed to be there behind the scenes, not doing the glamorous work, many times probably not seeing all the miracles and all the teaching because they were behind the scenes doing all the providing. It's about a number. And I think about the work here. There's some things that are so beautiful. You're going to see in the next few weeks, there'll be new tile and new flooring, and that's all such wonderful things, and people are going to ooh and ah. But nobody oohs and ahs when the lights are turned on. No one looks up and says, oh, isn't that wonderful? Or when the heat is on. I certainly don't do that, but a lot of you like heat. Or when the air conditioning is on, no one says, oh, isn't that wonderful? When the doors are unlocked. We don't think about those things. Those aren't glamorous. But those are the things that have to happen so that we can sit here in this place of worship. There are times in every church that are wonderfully joyous times where everything's rocking along really well. And then there are the lean times. And you know, if you've heard the history of this church, it's been around for over 150 years, and there's been wonderful times and there's been lean times. And in the lean times, I am so grateful that there were people behind the scenes who kept the lights on and the doors open because they knew that this ministry was so important. And I will tell you how that affected me. When I came here, I came with a 15-year-old kid. Now, some of you know about 15-year-olds. They have their own opinion about a lot of stuff. Now, Robert was very introverted. He played the piano only because I made him. And he had declared quite vociferously that he was not going to share that gift in worship ever. Well, when we came here, he begrudgingly played the piano my first Sunday here because Grandpa was going to be here, and I persuaded him that Grandpa might want to hear his music. So, oh, all right, I'll play for the very first time. And some of you can attest when you went to say, wasn't that, that was really great, Robert? He said, and that's the last you'll hear of me. He also was a budding artist. And do you know, I used to have to beg him to see his artwork. He wouldn't show anyone his artwork. And after the first Sunday, he came to the back. He said, see you later, Mom. And I said, oh, no, you have to go to time of fellowship. He said, but I have an escape now. The house is right here. I don't have to stay. I said, yes, you do. I'm such a rotten mother. Yes, you do. And so his fine. So he would sit there with his sketchbook, and a group of you would sit around him and talk at him because he would never look up. He would just keep sketching. Well, over a period of time, that young man started to blossom. I have art pieces now in my house that he would have never allowed me to display. His music started to blossom. And at the last Sunday here, he actually got up and spoke. But more importantly than that, he said to me, Mom, in the 3 years I have been here, I've become so much closer to God. I am so grateful that in the lean years, that people decided that this ministry was important enough to keep the lights on and the heat on and the doors open. And so we get down to the bottom line, the numbers. Number 365. Those are the days that every day we come over here and unlock this church. And unlike many other churches, we can keep these doors unlocked and people coming in 365 days of the year to pray. Some come in to play the piano and to worship alone. This place is open because someone decided, some people decided, that the ministry was important. Even if I do not get it for myself, someone else might be blessed in this space. 365 days. 52 weeks out of the year, people come in to worship. And so the bottom line is, my number, when I think of the blessing of this church and the ministry of this church, my number is 10% of my salary. I happily give. Because this ministry is so vitally important. I don't know what your number is, but I ask, what is the value of this ministry? I pray that 50 years from now, when most of us in, except for some of the younger folks, will not be here, that another generation will be sitting in these pews because we saw the value of this ministry. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the women who went behind those disciples and kept that ministry going. And I thank you for the people over these 150 plus years, in the good times and the bad, who kept this ministry going so that a young man could go off to college with assurance, with wonderful gifts, and with the knowledge that you loved him. I thank you for all the people who have come into this church and into this ministry, whether one time in the year or 52 weeks out of the year, who have been blessed and touched and nurtured and restored by your power. Lord, I ask that you would stir in our hearts the joy of giving to you. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.